Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15 says, "How then shall they call on Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good news." It is our job as Christians to share the good news with those around us, to be messengers bringing peace that comes from God. We want to think about those things here today. First song we want to sing, and it'll be on the PowerPoint, is "Facing a Task Unfinished." Facing a Task Unfinished. Let's stand as we sing. Facing a task unfinished that drives us to our knees, a need that undiminished rebukes our slothful ease. We who rejoice to know Thee renew before Thy throne the solemn pledge we owe Thee, to go and make Thee known. We go to all the world with gospel hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord. Where other lords beside Thee hold their unhindered sway, where voices that divide Thee defy Thee still today, with none to heed their crying for life and love and light, unnumbered souls are dying and pass into the night. We go to all the world with gospel hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord. We bear the torch that flaming fell from the hands of those who gave their lives proclaiming that Jesus died and rose. Ours is the same commission, the same message ours, fired by the same ambition, to Thee we yield our powers. We go to all the world with gospel hope unfurled. No other name has power to save but Jesus Christ the Lord. Father who sustained them, O Spirit who inspired, Savior whose love constrained them to toil his zeal untired, from cowardice defend us, from lethargy awake, forth on thine errand send us to labor for thy sake. We go to all the world with gospel hope unfurled. No other name is far to save but Jesus Christ the Lord. This time we want to just pray, and just a reminder that our offering is in the back and in the side pew if you'd like to give. I thank you to those who have helped meet the needs of the church over these last several months. We're very, very thankful for that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for the freedom that comes from you and that you paid the ultimate sacrifice to preserve, to give us freedom, and that, Lord, help us to be willing to share this good news of the hope that we have, that we would be willing to serve you no matter the cost, that we would be bold in our witness for you, realizing that you have saved us not to serve ourselves, but to serve you, the one who died for us and rose again. Lord, I ask that you would just bless in the service, challenge and encourage us, I pray. And just commit all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Our next song we want to sing our verse that we want to continue to say together is 2 Corinthians 4, which is a challenge to us to focus on what we can't see rather than what we can, and what a timely reminder for us. So let's say it together. 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man perishes. The inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. All right, next week we will, Lord willing, be able to say that from memory together. His next song, His Robes for Mine. Think about the great exchange that God has done for us. The sinless dying for the sinner. And we get His righteousness in exchange for our unrighteousness. What an incredible thought and truth. Let's sing His Robes for Mine.
His robes for mine, a wonderful exchange. Clothed in my sin, Christ suffered neath God's range. Draped in His righteousness, I'm justified. In Christ live, for in my place He died. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes are mine, what cause have I for dread? God's dauntless seal, my son in my stead. Faultless I stand with righteous works on mine, saved by my Lord's vicarious death alone. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cross. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes are mine, God's justice is appeased. Jesus is crushed, and thus the Father's pleased. Christ drank God's wrath on sin, then cried, 'Tis done. Sin's wages pain, propitiation won. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cost. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone. His robes were mine, such anguish none can know. Thus far condemned as though his foe, he has a lie, a curse, and left alone. I as though he embraced and welcomed home. I cling to Christ and marvel at the cross. Jesus forsaken, God estranged from God. But by such love, my life is not my own. My praise, my all, shall be for Christ alone.
What great truth. Please take your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21 for our scripture reading this morning. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Our next song that we want to sing is Freely, Freely, thinking about how God has freely forgiven us because of what Christ did for us. And as such, we should be motivated then to share that message with those around us. Freely, Freely.
God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share His love that He's told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. All power is given in Jesus' name, in earth and heaven, in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share His power as He told me to. He said, freely, freely you have received. Freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live.
And then our next song is Make Me a Blessing. As we consider all that God has done for us, we should want to share that with those that are around us. God has blessed us so much, and the good news of Jesus Christ is not something to be kept to ourselves. We need to be a blessing to those around us. Let's stand as we sing, and we'll sing the final refrain a cappella.
Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. O Savior, I pray, make me a blessing to someone today. Tell the sweet story of Christ and His love. Tell of His power to forgive. Others may trust Him if only you prove true every moment you live. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Out of my life, may Jesus shine. rest was given to you and your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless the helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today.
Amen. You may be seated. Please take your Bibles with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21. And before we look to God's Word, let's look to Him in prayer. Father, we just thank You so much for the love that You have shown us. Thank You for the sacrifice that You made on our behalf. We didn't deserve it, and yet You freely chose to die for us. Lord, I pray that as we consider this passage this morning, I pray that You would help us to be motivated to faithfully serve You in this job that You have called us to do, this task that You have given, this commission that we have been given, to be Your witnesses, to share the truth, to make peace, and to be ambassadors for You. I pray that You would just bless our time as we study Your Word now. I'm going to clearly explain these truths, and Lord, work in our hearts to change us to be more like Your Son, and that we would share this message with those around us, as You called us to, in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been telling my message this morning, our new job, our new job. When I became a pastor, it's been almost 11 years ago now, it was really overwhelming. I mean, there's so many things that you're figuring out. I'd just gone from being a seminary student, responsible for myself and my family. Now I'm responsible for a whole group of people. And not just responsible for, you know, carrying out a schedule, but I'm eternally responsible for souls and to be called to give account one day for that. And as I was learning the ropes, as it were, I was willing and looking for help. I read a lot of articles, talk to a lot of different people, you know, look up to others. I mean, calling some of my professors at times, and still over the years, you know, I've continued to do that because I want to learn this job that I've been called to do. And in this passage of Scripture, we find out that Paul gives the Corinthians help in understanding their new job as Christians, which really is our job as well. And so we need to hear his instructions that he has to say. Last week we learned from our renewed study of 2 Corinthians how everything is new as Christians. And Paul explained to the Corinthians how that as Christians we should have a new motive, we have a new regard, how the way we look at things. The new motive is the love that Christ has shown for us. The new regard is we don't look at things physically, but instead we look at them from a spiritual perspective. And then the last, as we saw, a new life, how everything about us should change, our priorities, you know, how we spend our money, you know, our time, our resources, you know, who we hang out with. The list goes on and on because we have been fundamentally changed from the inside out. And so everything about us should change. Because we are new creations. We are new creatures in Christ. And so we should live like it. Now, Paul goes on to explain to the Corinthians how we have a new job as Christians. And it is our job as well, which we can better do by understanding his instructions to the Corinthians. So you two aspects to these instructions about our new job here in verses 18 through 21. The first aspect is that we are called to be peacemakers, verses 18 and 19. It says, now all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to him, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. In these two verses, Paul makes clear the calling that we have as Christians to be peacemakers. So he explains to the Corinthians how, as Christians, we're called to be peacemakers since, first off, all things are of God. It is a general statement that Paul makes that flows then into the instruction. Everything is from God. He is the source of all things. Without God, there is nothing. In fact, Colossians 1 tells us that because of him, all things consist and, you know, continue to exist. He upholds everything by the word of his power. He keeps everything running. I mean, if God were to, for a millisecond, stop doing his job, we would cease to exist. The universe would unravel. He is the source of all things. So all things are of God. So it's this general statement, but because of that, he has the authority then to make this next statement or give this commission. Who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. So because he's the source of all things, he knew that there had to be him who took the initiative to make things right so that we could have peace with him and also that others could have peace. So the first part of that statement, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. The idea is here, the reconciliation is that of making peace. It's essentially exchanging hostility for friendship. Now, why would we be hostile to God? Because a lot of people don't think that they're God's enemy. But the reality is we come into this world, we are born God's enemy. And if you don't understand that truth, then a whole lot of life isn't going to make sense. But once you understand that because of our sin, which is an offense against God, it's breaking his laws, the one who is the source of all things, who made everything, and the one who has loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us, if we realize what we have done, and as what Scripture says, like in Romans 5, how we're at enmity with God, or as James 4 explains, how we are, you know, when you love the world, you become an enemy of God. You can't be a friend of the world and be a friend of God. It just, those are two opposites. And yet, too often we try to make those coexist. So, if we recognize we are at enmity with God because of our sin, there is hostility. There had to be something to bring us back together. There's this big gulf, this rift. And it had to start with God. He has the one who has made peace with us. He's made it possible. How? Through Jesus Christ. How has he made it possible through Jesus Christ? It is through his death on the cross. The payment for sin. The death penalty that God demands for every sin. That is the penalty that would drive us to hell, justly so, for all of eternity. And a lot of people struggle to accept that idea that God would punish people forever. But what they're doing is they're really minimizing the holiness of God and the righteous character of God who cannot abide even one sin in his presence. We'll find out later, you have to be perfect in order to get to heaven. Only perfect people go to heaven. And we have fallen far short of that, as Romans 3:23 says, of God's glory. So he has reconciled us to Christ. He has paid the death penalty. And so because of that, sin can be forgiven. This is why, as Romans 3:21-26 explain how God can be both just and justifier. He can make things right. He can bring us back into relationship. He can have peace with us because of what Jesus Christ has done. Now, this is a potential peace because there has to be a response on our part. He has made reconciliation possible, but we must respond to that offer if we are to truly be reconciled to God. And as we'll see, we have a role to play in that. So God has reconciled the world to Himself, it says. But He has done this through Jesus Christ. And the incredible part is the second half of that statement says He has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, ministry there means service. It's the word we get deacon from. We are all to be servants. That's what deacons are. They just have an official title. But as Christians, we are all to be servants to one another and to the world. And we have a job to do. It is reconciliation. Sharing this offer of peace with God to anyone around us, to those who need it. And verse 19 goes on to explain what this looks like. It is as if God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now, this is incredible that God would give us this job. We who were once sinners, we who were once His enemy, now have become His friends, and as His friends, He gives us the job of going out and sharing this good news. That's why I read that passage earlier from Romans 10, 14 and 15, how someone has to hear. And how can they hear unless somebody sent? And how beautiful it is when people go and share the gospel. It is a blessing to be able to share the good news that we have received with others around us so that they might be reconciled to God. And this is available to anyone. This is a work that Jesus has done to make reconciliation possible for anyone. In fact, part of the reason that God doesn't strike a sinner dead the moment he sins is because of the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, giving you time to respond. As we've talked about before, is many will not respond. In fact, some people take that God's goodness and use that to justify their ongoing bad behavior, ongoing sin, as Romans 2 explains. Despise the God's goodness instead of it being a challenge to us to repent before it's too late. Because God is good, God is loving, God is kind, and He has all these attributes, but He is also just, and there is coming a day when there will be judgment. But He has given everyone a chance to repent. No one will be able to stand before God on judgment and say, God, You didn't give me a chance. You didn't give me... No. Romans 1 says that we're all without excuse. Because even the pagan who has never heard the gospel still has the evidence of God's creation and can look out and see that there is a God. And if there is a God, then I am accountable to Him. And it's written on our hearts and the conscience. We know that adultery is wrong. We know that murder is wrong. We don't have people to teach us that. When we do those things, our heart condemns us. When we lie, when we steal. Because God has given us that alarm system. And we know that we are accountable. But we run from it. And yet it's our job to share this good news with those around us. God temporarily does not impute the trespasses of the world to them. He doesn't condemn them right away. Now that is temporary because on judgment day, at the great white throne of judgment, God will open up the books and He will mete out justice. There will be punishment that is given each according to their deeds. So I believe that in hell there is levels of punishment. There will be true, eternal, lasting justice that was never really found in this world. We try. But it's said, recently I heard, over 47% of all murders are unsolved. Think about that. All that injustice that's going on in our world. Then you add to that all the things that the law says are okay but are unjust, like abortion and other sins. God will make all those things right in the end. There will be a day when He will credit those sins back to their account and say, you have to pay the price. And those who have despised God's goodness, as Romans 2 explains, it becomes worse for them in the end if we do not respond to God's offer of reconciliation, finding peace. So God has made peace possible through Jesus Christ, and He has committed to us the word of reconciliation. See, it's not enough to just simply act it. You know, let people see by your life that you're different. That only gets you so far. We have to speak God's message. We are compelled, we ought to speak, as Paul says, numerous occasions. Even when people would kill us for speaking. Like Stephen, recently we read that with our kids going through devotions. He knew his death was coming. And yet, one of the longest recorded sermons in Scripture, and he says it right to their face. Because he gives them a chance to hear the message one last time before he dies. And always, every time I read that passage, when Stephen is dying, he says he sees heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, other passages, we know that Jesus is sitting, right? But there He's standing. Why would He stand? It's because He is showing His respect, His honor to one of His faithful servants. Incredible. I want to be like that, to be received like that. He is faithful in carrying out this task that we have been given, the word of sharing the word of reconciliation. Peace is possible with God. That is what giving the gospel is about. And it is our job to do that. As Romans 10, 14 through 17, Luke 24, 46 through 49, in one of the commission passages, Jesus says this, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and rise from the dead the third day." There's the death and resurrection. "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." Now, that's Luke writing. And he goes on to write Acts, which just says, Acts 1:8, "You shall be My witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world." That is a progression of where we start with those around us and we share to, you know, in bigger and bigger circles. So ultimately, we're sharing the good news with the world. That's why we send missionaries, or we go ourselves. This is what God has called us to, of being peacemakers. And we tend to think of peacemaking as just dealing with conflict, but the ultimate conflict is between God and man. And if that is not solved, you will never have true and lasting harmony with those around you. We are called to be peacemakers. How many of you look forward to doing your taxes every year? Nobody likes doing taxes, right? I mean, unless you're going to get money back, right? That's the only why. But how many of you like, you know, slogging through all those details and all the figures? Okay, there's a few twisted people out there that you know, like running numbers and all that. But I don't know about you, but it's a year's worth of stuff that you have to collect and figure out. Like, that's the hardest part, is just getting that all together and getting it organized and making sure it's right. Then you can do your taxes. And it's this huge job. Now, it's a little bit easier on a month-to-month basis when you have to pay your bills, right? Because you don't let it get so big. You have to do, you know, it's just a month's accumulation, maybe. Or even, you know, things that you do on a weekly basis. It's easier to make those things reconcile or right because there's not as much to deal with. As Christians, do you understand how we're called to be peacemakers of Christ? And this is not an option like our taxes. And it should not be put off until it's a huge job, but stay faithful in it. To keep, as 1 John 1 9 says, confessing our sins so that we can enjoy that forgiveness and fellowship with God. Have that peace with Him. Do you realize that true peace starts with the gospel? The good news that Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose again so that all who trust in His work for us can find peace with God. That is true peace. It's why the gospel is so vital for our lives. Do you understand why we need peace with God? It's because we are His enemy due to our sin, our law-breaking, and we will be punished forever unless we become His friend again. Yet, because of His great love for all, He has made forgiveness and peace possible. How incredible is that? But we must believe. We must believe in the only way of peace, through Jesus Christ. And if we have found peace with God, we are now called to help others make peace with God as well. So are we doing that? Are we helping others find peace with God before it is too late? Because there is coming a day, as Hebrews 9:27 says, there is coming a day appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. There are no second chances. You must decide before you die if you will believe in Jesus Christ. Trust in the only way of salvation. This is the urgency. That's why Paul has written in verse 11, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. He's going to write in the next chapter in 2 Corinthians 6:2. For now, he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Don't wait until it's too late. None of us know. We've had reminder after reminder recently. Whether it's you're going to get sick and die from the virus, or whether you're going to get in your car and be killed, or whether you're going to be diagnosed with cancer, or whatever it is, we don't know. So don't put it off. Trust in Jesus Christ today before it is too late. And for if you know Him, then there should be urgency on our behalf to share this message before it is too late. It is our job that God has given us to make peace, to communicate this message of peace to those around us, starting with those that we know, our friends, our family, our coworkers. That is your mission field, our community. And then we have a greater responsibility to our those around us, our region, our state, our country, and ultimately the world. We have been given this job. And thankfully, it's not just up to us individually, but us collectively as Christians to carry out this great commission. Are you being a peacemaker? That's the first aspect of our job. The second aspect is that we are called to be ambassadors in verses 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you. It's the idea of begging, pleading. On Christ's behalf, because of what He has done for us, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. One of the commentaries said this verse here in verse 21 is probably ranks almost right after John 3:16 for its importance and significance. These two verses, Paul is communicating God's job that He has given of being ambassadors. There's another aspect to this job, putting it in a little bit different terms. What is, he says, now then, that's basically a restatement of verses 18 and 19. What is an ambassador? Ambassador is a representative of another who communicates another's message while living in a foreign land. What a great picture for us as Christians, right? We've recently finished our study of Philippians, and on Wednesdays, and Philippians 3 tells us how we are in 20 and 21. We are citizens of a different place, heaven. This is not our homeland. And instead, we should be looking and longing for the day when we will get to be in our true home with Jesus Christ. And get to be like Him in our resurrected, glorified bodies. The way God originally meant us to be for all of eternity. That should be our hope. And if we realize that we are not citizens of this world, then we live differently. Because this is not our homeland. Think about Hebrews 11. Those who, in the great hall of faith, look for a city whose builder and maker was God. They were sojourners. Another picture for us. This is not our home. It is one to come. But we have meanwhile been placed here, given a job to do. It is carrying or representing another. It is God and Christ sharing the message that He has given us. Not what we want to say, but what He wants us to say. It's His word of reconciliation, this ministry of reconciliation, the good news that Jesus Christ died for sin and He has risen again, and that God accepts all who come to Him in faith, and that you can be made righteous in God's eyes, so that when you die, you can go to be with Him. How amazing is that? That's a powerful, transformative message that we have the privilege of carrying. Paul seeks to convey the urgency of the message by saying, we implore you. It's as if God is speaking through us, pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Have peace with God. Come to Him before it's too late. This is why there's been so many appeals for the gospel. And it is entirely appropriate to do so because this is the truth, this is the message that we all need to hear before it is too late. Far more important than any public service announcement, far more important than any safety notice. We need the good news of Jesus Christ, and it is our job to share that. And what is this message is of the great exchange, we call it. Verse 21, He made Him, that is God the Father, made Him, Jesus, who knew no sin. Jesus, the only human who has ever lived, who never sinned once in His life. And Scripture again and again affirms this truth. 1 Peter 2:22, 1 John 3:5, He is sinless. Hebrews 9 as well. Other passages where, Hebrews 4. He is a great high priest. And yet he was at all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And yet He died in our place. The sinless dying for the sinner. The guilty dying for, guiltless dying for the guilty. 1 Peter 2:24 puts it this way. Who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live forever, by whose stripes you were healed. Now, you hear that, you should think immediately of Isaiah 53. And how it conveys to us that the sinless Christ, the suffering servant who died in the place of the sinners. And it says, by whose stripes we are healed. There's also the idea of the Old Testament sacrifice and the sacrificial lamb, who was this pure, unblemished animal who was slaughtered and blood shed in the place of the guilty. And John the Baptist identifies Jesus as, in John 1, he says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It is through Jesus' sacrifice, one time, as Hebrews makes clear, that He has forever perfected those who are being saved. and that all who come to Him will be rescued, will be given His righteousness. He took the penalty of sin, death, upon Himself, so that all who trust in Him can have this righteousness, as this verse explains. He knew no sin to be sin for us. He took the penalty that we, in order that we might become the righteousness of God. And there's a potential. And how do we get this righteousness? How does this exchange take place? Well, as other passages explain, like Philippians 3:9, Romans 3:21-26, Romans 4:1-8, Romans 5:18, it is by faith. It is not by works. It is simply by trusting in Jesus Christ, depending on Him alone to rescue us. And He takes away our filthiness and gives us His pure, spotless righteousness. What a deal. I mean, we like to boast about deals, right? I mean, you know, I got this great deal. I mean, I only paid this much. But this is the best deal to boast about ever. Like, we gave Him all this dirty, rotten stuff, and He gave us pure righteousness that qualifies us now to enter into heaven. Because remember earlier I said only perfect people go to heaven. Jesus, in His Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, says, therefore you shall be perfect like my Father in heaven is perfect. And Revelation 21:27 tells us there will be nothing sinful in heaven. Nothing wrong in heaven. You have to be perfect in order to go to heaven. Which means we're all in trouble, right? We got this huge problem. Because none of us are perfect. But God has made the only way possible, as Jesus has said, the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, then this exchange takes place in our lives. He takes away our sin, and He doesn't just make us sinless. He makes us righteous. Sometimes it's been righteousness or justification has been defined as just as I've never sinned. That's not true. Because justification is actually making us not just sinless, but making us righteous in God's eyes. Crediting this huge amount to us, the righteousness of Christ, and all His sinlessness and His law-keeping to our accounts. What we could not do, He did for us. And so now, when we die, we have the right to go to heaven. God can be just and justifier. He can do the right thing because He has already done the right thing for us in allowing us into heaven. He can't just give you a pass and say, yeah, close enough. You know, great on the curve. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to be perfect to get to heaven. And thankfully, Jesus has made that way of perfection possible through His death on the cross for us. And it is our job to share this message as ambassadors, communicating this great hope, this great exchange to those around us. How many of you, whether you remember as a kid or remember your kids, you gave a message, or mom and dad gave you a message, and you were to go to your siblings and tell them that message? And how many of you remember modifying the message on the way, or when it came out? Right? It didn't quite come out like mom and dad wanted. You know, it came out with a snotty attitude, or maybe it came out with, I'm telling you what to do, or, you know, why is that? Because we have a tendency as humans to speak on our own authority. But the reality is, none of us have that authority. So when you communicate a message, the only real way you should be is relaying a message from your parents, who do have the authority, is saying, Mom and Dad said this. Here's what they wanted me to tell you. How often do we do the same when it comes to the gospel or the good news or the God's message? we interject ourselves into it. Whether our attitude comes across as like a holier than thou, you know, I would never do this. You need to get your life cleaned up. Or we give an entirely different message. We give what we want to say rather than what God wants us to say. Do you understand how we're called to be as ambassadors of, as Christians? We don't have the right to interject our own instructions and attitudes. Do you realize that we are representatives of another communicating His message while we live in a foreign land? Are you acting like an ambassador who is always on message? And we always, you know, people ask us, you always keep coming back to what does God say? What is God's message? What has Christ done for us? Why are we here? Those are all things that should just flow out of us again and again. Godly Christians, you know, is it Spurgeon? You know, we should bleed the Bible. You prick us, we should bleed the Bible. Whenever we're provoked, we should always run back to Scripture and just come out of us, starting with the Gospel. A good ambassador will always be communicating what his country says. Not what he wants to say, or she, but what his country says. And so with us, we should always communicate what God wants us to say. So are you living, acting like an ambassador, or are you living more like a resident? One who's caught up in the life of here and now, paying bills and raising a family, enjoying the good life. I mean, that's what it's so easy to get wrapped up in that, so we have no time to be out sharing the message. Ray Comfort recently shared the reason he has money to give away Subway gift cards to people he witnesses to, because he doesn't have hobbies. He doesn't have things that he's just spending his extra income on. I don't know about you, but it's recently with all the shutdowns, it was kind of easy to start to realize how much money you spent on all these extra things that you didn't really need. Maybe about taking some of that income now and use it to invest in books and resources and going to places where you can share the gospel or taking people out to eat so that you can, you know, witness them, so to build the relationship, you know, have people into your home. There's a multitude of ways that you could increase your gospel opportunities. So many of us, we wait until they come to us rather than seeking them out. And if it is our job, you don't just wait till the boss tells you what to do, right? That's not a good employee. To always have to have the boss around to be telling you what to do. No, we should be faithful in seeking out, looking for the next thing to do. Where would you have me go, God? What do you want me to do? And be prepared, like 1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. To be equipped, to be trained, to share that message. There's tons of great resources. I would encourage you, take advantage of the Living Waters videos. Whole tons and tons of videos that you can go to their website, YouTube, Answers in Genesis. They have thing Answers TV now. It's like all their videos on streaming are on demand streaming. Great resources like that to equip you to be able to share the message whenever God gives you that opportunity and to seek those out. Maybe start a Bible study. Some of you have done that with others. Be a part of a Bible study. Look forward to starting those up in the coming weeks and see what God would have us do. Are we acting as an ambassador? Are you faithfully doing your job, realizing that God is pleading through us to others to be reconciled to Him? Do you understand how this is possible because of Christ, the sinless, dying for the sinner? Now, you should be thankful for that. That should overwhelm you, and it should cause us to go out and share this. Do you see how we cannot be righteous on our own, but we desperately need Christ's righteousness if we are to enter heaven? Too often we measure ourselves by ourselves rather than measuring ourselves by the standard, which is Jesus Christ. This last week I've been helping my brother and dad build my brother's house. We got four walls and up. And we use tape measures a lot. We use levels. We use measures that are the same. So that no matter which one of us is measuring, the measurement always stays the same. Because if not, you're going to end up with walls in places you can't put windows in and things like that. I mean, it'll mess things up major at this point. And so it is in our lives. We use standard. We need the standard that stays the same. It is Jesus Christ. And we need to hold others to that standard. That's why the law is so important in helping us see where we've gone wrong and how much we need Jesus Christ. Are you helping others get the righteousness they so desperately need? Are you being an ambassador? This past year, I've been president of the Dysart Lions Club. And when I was incoming president, they didn't really hand you a book and say, here's your duties, or someone sit down with me and explain to me everything I needed to do. It was kind of a bit like on-the-job training where you figure it out as you go. And, there was things that I forgot, things that I didn't know I was supposed to do, things that I wasn't know I was supposed to communicate. And it's been a process in learning that. And that's fine. You know, it's a lot, small town Lions Club. It's not a big deal. But how much better when things are communicated, when you know what's expected of you, and you know if you're doing your job or not. So much better. God has done that with us. He has made our duties clear. Has Paul's instructions helped you to understand your new job as a Christian? God has made our duties clear to us. We should have no doubts. Do you understand how we're called to be peacemakers and ambassadors as Christians, and what that means? Are you faithfully doing your job? Father, we thank you for this passage. Thank you for its instructions, its clear instructions for our lives. Help us to be faithful in our service for you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.